Welcome to this Sunday, the last Sunday in September, and it's over the weekend. It was quite cloudy and rainy, wasn't it? And anytime it gets cloudy and rainy like that, it always takes me back to my times in Alaska, because we lived in the Aleutian Islands, and that was always seemed to be cloudy and rainy there. But as I think about my time in Alaska, and I did a lot of fun things up there. I remember one time going seagull egg hunting. I bet nobody else ever has been here seagull egg hunting. That was interesting. Out there hand lining for cod and a little skiff. That was kind of fun watching. And you could hear the whales swimming around you. It kind of was an eerie feeling. And there's other things I did. But of all things, one of my biggest regrets when I was living in Alaska had to do with something I missed out on. It was really a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, which I didn't take advantage of. Here's what happened. The local school teacher had received a large grant and was going to help these students build bodarkas. Anybody know what a bodarka is? It's basically a kayak. We call them kayaks here, but in the Aleut culture, they're called bodarkas. So we received all the materials from a generous donor. And even had an expert boat builder come to the island who had reverse engineered the bidarka from, you know, found one and took it apart and then put it together again. And he even wrote a book about it. And he was going to come to the island to help oversee the project for a long period of time. I was invited to join, but for whatever reason, I don't know if I didn't feel confident in my woodworking skills or if I just didn't feel I had enough time. And looking back on it, it's like I had all the time in the world then. I only had, one child. And so I kicked myself for not seeing the golden opportunity that was placed in front of me. And that's what I'm talking about this morning, is the golden opportunities that happen in our lives. And the question is, do we seize them, we take advantage of them, or do we let them kind of slip by and forget about them? Whatever the reason, I wish I could have had the do-over. The most important part about that is that even since then, that's been a number of years since I've been in Alaska, I've missed other golden opportunities. And what it all boils down to is I want to be better at seizing those opportunities that God places. But in order for that to happen, I must be more spiritually alert. My spiritual reflexes have to be better. Especially when it comes to sharing. When I see an open door, do I go through it? When I hear somebody talk about they're questioning their faith or they're questioning what's going on in their lives, do we see that as an open door to begin to speak truth into somebody's life? How many of you have ever played high school sports here? You know, I enjoy going out to the, a number of you, gone out to see the high school football players. That's always fun. But you remember what it was like when you first turned out for a sports season? You've been doing other things all summer long or something, totally other activities, and so all of a sudden you jump back into practice. How do you feel about that? Don't you feel like you have two left feet and your hands are like brick, you can't catch a ball? It takes a while, doesn't it, for us to, we have to repeat the activity over and over again to finally we feel comfortable. We regain our confidence and our skill at that. It's the same with our spiritual lives. If we don't read our Bibles, if we don't engage in prayer, if we neglect God's precepts in our everyday lives, guess what? We become spiritually rusty. We become clumsy. We miss out. We truly do. We miss out on the golden opportunities set before us. I'm speaking about there's different, you know, ones in the scripture. The one I'm thinking about really is the woman at the well. She didn't miss out. Jesus said some very important words to her. If you knew the gift of God and the one who was speaking to you at this moment, you would be asking me for living water, not the other way around, because Jesus went and asked her for water. Well, it's a serious problem when we miss opportunities, because God says if we are to be faithful in the little things in life, well, we're not going to get greater responsibility. I mean, sometimes I think people, we like the big projects. But it's the tedious, mundane things that God wants us to be faithful to, that if we don't do those, and we're not responsible for those things, how will God entrust us to do greater things? Now, some of you might be thinking, well, that's exactly why I don't do the little things, because I really don't want to be saddled with more responsibility. I have enough responsibility in life. Well, I hope that isn't your thought, but if it is, let me assure you that, quite frankly, God will not be very happy with us if we keep saying no to his opportunities. Because eventually, he's not going to ask anymore. Remember the parable of the talents? The two servants were given 5 talents and 10 talents. They were to put the talents to work, weren't they? And the one who was given 1 talent, well, it says in the scriptures, well, that talent was taken away from him because he refused to do anything with it except hide it in the dirt, dig a hole and put it in the ground. Why was he so afraid that the master... Why was he so afraid of the master? Really, that's what it says in the scripture. The Bible says that the servant did not know who the master was. It says, I thought you to be a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. In other words, that person did not know his master. The servant thought his master was harsh and corrupt and unloving. But we can see from the master's response to the other two faithful servants, he says, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. God is a sharing God. He's a loving God. He wants to share all the good things with us. My point is simply this. We act according to our perception of God. If we see God as a stingy God and doesn't like to share, then guess what? We probably won't share. If we see God as harsh and unforgiving, well, then it'll be difficult for us to forgive others. If we see God as legalistic and judgmental, then that's probably how we're going to operate towards one another. Our vertical relationship with God has a lot of influence on how we interact with one another. Of course, our perceptions may be totally wrong, but that's beside the point. The point is we operate on our perceptions every day, whether they are right or wrong. So let us make sure that our perceptions, our view of God, is a biblical and true perception. The more accurate our perception of God, the more accurately we will reflect God's nature in our lives. One thing I like about the Gospel of Mark is that there's no beating around the bush for Mark. He tells about God, about his mission. He tells us how we are to respond to him. Mark spells it out like a football coach or a basketball coach. He, right at the beginning of the season, says, this is our goal. We want to win the conference. We want to win state, whatever. Whatever the goals. And he lays out on the first day of practice, he sets this golden opportunity before the boys. And he says, if we stick together as a team, who knows what we'll be able to accomplish. Each player is offered the opportunity to join the team so that it can be part at the end of the accomplishment and the celebration of that accomplishment. He encourages them to stick it out. Let's look at a couple ways that Mark shows this. Mark highlights this. First, notice when Jesus calls the first disciple, you don't have to turn to this in your Bible, but in Mark chapter 1, Jesus does not make any flowery or unrealistic promises when he calls his first disciples. He doesn't say it's going to be a free and easy ride. When he calls Simon and his brother Andrew, he makes no mention of engaging their career, which is fishing for fish. He says, I got something better for you. We're going to fish for men. Now, they probably didn't have a clue as to what that meant, to fish for men. And yet, they are willing to follow. This says something about who they see Jesus. He was a teacher, and these were unschooled fishermen. But they believed Jesus could teach them everything they needed to know about their new mission. And so they were willing to trust and to follow. Can we say that about our view of God? Do we see God as one who will teach us in our lives? Who will help us carry out our ministry? Many of us fail to follow God into new avenues of ministry because, oh, I'm not qualified. Oh, there's somebody better. There's somebody there with more experience in that field. And so we take a seat on the sideline. But the question is, what does that say about our perception of God? Do we not believe that God will teach us and equip us to do what He has called us to do? I'm not saying that God is going to give us all the skills we need overnight to accomplish a big task. But I think it is essential for us to believe that He will give us just what we need at the right time to tackle the job that is right in front of us. He will help us. He will guide us. If we don't believe that Jesus can help us in this regard, what motivation is there really for us to enter a new adventure in ministry? Because we'll think to ourselves, oh, we will most certainly fail. But if we say that, it's because our view of God needs a change. Second, I skip over to Mark chapter 2, verses 3 and 6. Notice the perseverance. This is where these four young men carry the paralytic up to the top, the roof of a building. See, they had a golden opportunity right in front of them. Jesus was coming to town. He was going to preach. He was going to teach. He was going to heal the sick. And of course, the news of Jesus, that brought people from all over the countryside to be there. And by the time these men got there with their friend, the place was already packed. Mark says there wasn't even any room outside the door. This fact could have easily dissuaded the men. They could have said, you know what, we can't get in today. Forget it. Jesus is too busy. But they saw this event for what it really was, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity not to be missed. Well, I think you know what happens next. They go up to the top of the house and they dig a hole and they lower the man down. And all they were hoping for was that this man would be able to walk again. That would be miracle of miracles, that he would be able to get off his mat and go home. But what happened? What happened is beyond their wildest dreams and expectations. In other words, I want to say it, their God box was blown to smithereens. They climbed on the roof just hoping beyond hope that Jesus might be able to make their friend walk. But what? God forgave the man his sins. God let this man be a child of God. He welcomed him into the kingdom of God. God, forgive us for our short-sighted views of you. How big is your God box? No matter how big or small it is, God really wants to smash it to smithereens. But He can't if you won't offer it to Him in faith. Some of us don't want God to get hold of our box where we put God in. We want to continue in our comfortable, uncomplicated, and yes, I'll say it, sometimes boring lives. Because at least there I'm safe. I'm safe there. But what does this say about our view of God? Do we believe that God loves His creation and He will watch out for us and guide us and protect us even when we step out in faith But many will protest. What about all those martyrs in the back in ancient history? They stepped out in faith, and guess what happened to them? They ended up getting squashed between two stones, or sawed in half, or burned at the stake. That's a legitimate question. Do we really want to put ourselves in a position that could really, we could be harmful to us? Well, remember this, God's view of life is so much grander than ours. Our view of life should be more than just this temporary earthly life that we share together. God says our life counts for all eternity. It is preserved for us in heaven, God says. First Peter writes about that. Peter says, in his great mercy has given us a new birth into a living hope, that through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, into an inheritance that can never perish or spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you through faith, or shielded by God's power. The point in all this is that the golden opportunity to serve our Lord goes far beyond these temporary lives that we live right now. Our service to God on earth is only the beginning of greater calling He has for us. But we must not neglect the beginning. We are in the beginning. I don't care if you're nine years old or 90. You're in the beginning. We need to start in the right direction. How can we ever hope to share the glories that are yet to come if we don't start and have our beginning? If we don't start, we'll be like that one servant who was given the talent and decided to, well, this master that I serve, he is harsh. He's unloving. I need to put this in the ground for safekeeping. But it says that talent was taken away. I take this to mean that the golden opportunity to pledge our allegiance to God, that's what's in front of us. To pledge our allegiance to God. To tell God, I love you, God. I want to serve you. I want to honor you with my life. That opportunity stands before us every day when we wake up. But that opportunity will close someday. There will be a time when the offer of grace, the gift of grace, will come to an end. It will no longer be available to us. So my advice is, don't hesitate, but receive it and claim it for your own. Let us not miss out on the golden opportunity to celebrate new life we have in Christ. I'm reminded of that episode in Mark chapter 2 when Jesus was questioned by his disciples who had their interesting fasting practices. And the questioners observed that John's disciples were fasting, and so were the disciples of the Pharisees. But yours aren't, Jesus. What happened to you? What about your motley crew of disciples? Why aren't you fasting? And Jesus said, well, fasting, that is for those who are experiencing deep personal loss. But you don't have to do that now, because we have Christ with us. We have the Holy Spirit that is ready to live in us. So we should not mourn, we should celebrate. Jesus says, I am here, and that's why my disciples don't fast, because I am with them, and we celebrate. The church has to see the Lord Jesus Christ with us so that we will celebrate. Now this might seem strange to you, but for as long as I live, I will never forget my bachelor party back then in 2000. It was a grand time. I had men flying from all over the country to visit me on that great day before my wedding. And we did some fun stuff. We went to a fancy restaurant in Portland, Oregon, and we traveled on the commuter train that was public transportation. And But the funniest part was the reaction of these complete strangers who before that were so quiet and withdrawn, just sitting behind their newspapers, doing nothing on the train. But when they found out someone was getting married, all of a sudden they brightened up. They started singing, "Get me to the church on time," and things like that. It was a memorable moment. Complete strangers celebrating the day that was going to be a great day the next day. Christianity, it's supposed to be contagious like that. Christians are to have such a countenance and a joy about them that they can't, that others can't help but take notice and wonder, why are these people so happy? Look at the world, it's unraveling around us, and yet those people are happy. What is it? Are they naive? Do they not understand what's going on in the world? Do they have their head in the sand? No. When people realize, when we, the children of God, realize what God has done for us, what God means to us, when we cannot help but declare the glories of God. We have chosen not to let the golden opportunity pass us by. We take God's promises at face value for what they are, and then we own them by faith. Even faith, the gift of God. Jesus, as the author of Hebrews writes, since the promise of eternal life still stands, right today, eternal life, God holds that out to us. Let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. In other words, be careful that you haven't seized upon it. For we also had, the author continues, we also had the gospel preached to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them because they did not combine it with faith. They heard the truth, but they did not receive it by faith. The author says, be careful. Don't let your life end up in that category. Thank you, Lord, for faith that allows us to take advantage of golden opportunities that is found in believing in you, serving you, living for you. Lord, your first disciples pounced on the golden opportunity given to them when Christ offered himself. The Samaritan woman at the cross, or at the well, recognized the Messiah, gave her life to him. How about you? Is there a golden opportunity sitting before you? I don't care if you're 9 years old or 90. Do you hear the small voice of God calling you and saying, I want you to do this? I don't know if you're going to succeed at it. I don't know. You may fail at it. I don't know. But are you willing to step out in faith and do what God has called you to do? Don't be afraid. Seize it. Believe that God will instill in you both the will and the do to get it done. Even more importantly than getting the job done is that when you step out in faith, guess what? You will know God more. You will experience God's glory more in a deeper and more personal way. And that in itself is worth that step of faith right there, to know God more. That's what we want to do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, today is a good day. It's always a good day when we can come into your house to study your word, to be exhorted and challenged to live out our faith. Lord, just says, we're like the woman at the well. And Jesus says to us, if you knew the gift of God and who was speaking to you right now, you would seize on this opportunity. Lord, we're quick to brush you off, to think that maybe it was not you speaking to us. That maybe where somebody else was. But Lord, give us the faith so we may step out in faith to do thy will, and even more importantly, to know you and your glory. We thank you in Jesus' name.